We're one short, said Lupin.
Here, said Hagrid gruffly, and he lifted Mundungus by the scruff of the neck and dropped him down beside Fleur, who wrinkled her nose pointedly and moved along to stand between Fred and George instead.
I've told you I'd sooner be a protector, said Mundungus.
Shut it, growled Moody. As I've already told you, you spineless worm. Any Death Eaters we run into will be aiming to capture Potter, not kill him. Dumbledore always said you know who would want to finish Potter in person. It'll be the Protectors who have got the most to worry about. The Death Eaters will want to kill them.
Mundungus did not look particularly reassured, but Moody was already pulling half a dozen egg-cup-sized glasses from inside his cloak, which he handed out before pouring a little polyjuice potion into each one.
All together, then.
Ron, Hermione, Fred, George, Fleur, and Mundungus drank. All of them gasped and grimaced as the potion hit their throats. At once, their features began to bubble and distort like hot wax. Hermione and Mundungus were shooting upward. Ron, Fred, and George were shrinking. Their hair was darkening. Hermione's and Fleur's appearing to shoot backward into their skulls. Moody, quite unconcerned, was now loosening the ties of the large sacks he had brought with him. When he straightened up again, there were six Harry Potters gasping and panting in front of him. Fred and George turned to each other and said together,
"Wow! We're identical! I dunno, though. I think I'm still better looking," said Fred, examining his reflection in the kettle.
"Bah," said Fleur, checking herself in the microwave door. "Bill, don't look at me. I'm hideous."
"Those whose clothes are a bit roomy have got smaller here,"
said Moody, indicating the first sack.
"And vice versa. Don't forget the glasses. There's six pairs in the side pocket, and when you're dressed, there's luggage in the other sack."
The real Harry thought that this might just be the most bizarre thing he had ever seen, and he had seen some extremely odd things. He watched as his six doppelgangers rummaged in the sacks, pulling out sets of clothes, putting on glasses, stuffing their own things away. He felt like asking them to show a little more respect for his privacy as they all began stripping off with impunity, clearly much more at ease with displaying his body than they would have been with their own.
"I knew Ginny was lying about that tattoo," said Ron,
looking down at his bare chest.
"Harry, your eyesight really is awful," said Hermione as she put on glasses.
Once dressed, the fake Harrys took rucksacks and owl cages, each containing a stuffed snowy owl, from the second sack.
"Good,"
said Moody, as at last seven dressed, bespectacled and luggage-laden Harrys faced him.
"The pairs will be as follows. Mundungus will be travelling with me by broom."
"Why am I with you?"
grunted the Harry nearest the back door.
"Because you're the one that needs watching," growled Moody.
And sure enough, his magical eye did not waver from Mundungus as he continued,
"Arthur and Fred."
"I'm George," said the twin at whom Moody was pointing. "Can't you even tell us apart when we're Harry?"
"Sorry, George."
"I'm only yanking your wand. I'm Fred, really."
"Enough messing around," snarled Moody. "The other one, George, or Fred, or whoever you are, you're with Remus. Miss Delacour?"
"I'm taking Fleur on a Thestral," said Bill. "She's not that fond of brooms."
Fleur walked over to stand beside him, giving him a soppy, slavish look that Harry hoped with all his heart would never appear on his face again.
"Miss Granger with Kingsley, again by Thestral."
Hermione looked reassured as she answered Kingsley's smile. Harry knew that Hermione too lacked confidence on a broomstick.
"Which leaves you and me, Ron,"
said Tonks brightly, knocking over a mug tree as she waved at him. Ron did not look quite as pleased as Hermione,